Well, let's direct our attention now to the evening series of studies on 1 Timothy, chapter 6 today, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 6, 1 and 2. Hear the word of the Lord. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. Rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. Well, as those who've been with us in the evening, remember that we have just finished in chapter 5, a long section of the divine writings, divinely inspired writings of Paul, dealing with the role of elders in the church. And especially a significant point that Paul is making is that the elders have God-given authority, and the flock is required to hear them and to follow them when they are being consistent with the teaching of God's word. Now, as we talk about the content of chapter 6, we see the Apostle Paul taking the subject of authority again, but this time as it impacts the people of God in their work environment, in their relationship with those who are their masters, or more contemporary, those who would be their employers. The principles, I think, would be applied here as well. And it's the question of, when, as we look at this, the questions that are going to come to mind are, what authority do you as a Christian submit to in the church? And what authority do you follow when you're outside the church? And where does your master or your employer fit in to all of that discussion? And the answer to those questions about what authority do you submit to, the answer is in both cases the same. Whether you're in the church or outside of the church as a believer, the authority you submit to is God's. You submit to God's authority in the way in which you relate to the leaders of the church, but also in the way in which you relate to those who are your masters or your employers. And in this day and age when Paul was writing, certainly, it was more of the master-slave relationship that is in view here. We remember that no one has authority over anybody except that be given to them by God. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 makes that point very clear. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Oh, it would be so easy to kind of skip over this and not speak about this particular passage. But I read it and I look at it, and I don't see any way of getting around, and not that I would want to, but I don't see any way of getting around the fact that even if you have a non-believing boss, the authority that they have in that capacity as master to you is God-given. You may not like it. You may not like what they do. You may not like what kind of person they are. You may not like what they're wanting you to do. But his authority over you comes from God. So, again, let as many servants as there are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Well, I'm sure that in that day and age, those that wanted to make the Christians the scapegoat for everything going wrong in society would very quickly say that the Christians, with regard to the civil magistrate, for example, they're completely rebellious. they follow a different God, and they're not willing to submit to the authority. But you remember, even our Lord Jesus, before Pilate, made it clear. He said, "You have no authority over me unless it were given to you by God." Such a wretched character as Pilate is, has that kind of authority, because it was given to him in that particular incident by God. And certainly there would be people who would say that the Christians early on were, because they worshipped another god than Rome, they were guilty of sedition and treason and those sort of things. Certainly employers might have Christian employees who would think that, well, because God is the only one I need to listen to, I don't need to listen to my master, or don't need to listen to him, especially when he is doing something that I don't think is right. This is not the first and only place in the Bible where it talks about the relationship between masters and slaves, or the relationship between employers and employees. Paul regularly hammers this theme. This is not the only place in his writings. Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 9, for example. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh." There can be no doubt he's talking about human masters. That's what "according to the flesh" points out. "Do so with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ." Not with eye service as men pleasers. You know, when the boss is walking around, suddenly you get really busy to kind of make an impression. Not as men pleasers or eye service, nor as men pleasers. We often refer to that as someone who is doing something just so that he knows his boss wants, just so he can get on his boss's good side. "But as servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men." So even, you see, in your job, and how you conduct yourself in your job is meant to do that which is right, because you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto men. And that's a key and important thing. "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same he shall receive the Lord, whether he be the bond or free. And masters, do the same thing unto them. Forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him." And suddenly, you know, Paul puts the other side of the equation, in that masters have a duty unto their flock to treat them, or unto their employees to treat them correctly, rightly, even as they would before God, because God will hold them accountable. Colossians chapter 3, 22 and 25, very similar to Ephesians chapter 5, 6, 5 through 9, almost identical. "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." It's passages like these, and again, there are others. Titus 2, verse 9, and Peter gets into the act. It's not just Paul saying the same this stuff about relationship with masters and employees. Peter says it. 1 Peter 2:18-19, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, English word for the bad ones, Old English. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. You know, this Christian life, and particularly in dealing with believing masters or unbelieving masters, would be this kind of injunction, this kind of statement is a difficult statement. But the key to it, I think, is your service to your master is not as important as your service to the Lord. You are serving the Lord through serving your master faithfully. That's the key point. And this is an idea that has been referred to in the history of the church as something called the Puritan ethic. Any of you ever heard that phrase? The Puritan ethic. And it's the ethic, it's the idea that you, on your job, you do the best work you can, you do the best job you can, you give the best effort you can, because fundamentally you're working for the glory of God and not for the almighty dollar. Or the other kinds of temporal rewards that come through work. Position, power, perks, money. That's not, for a Christian, that's not what we're working for. We're working for God in our jobs. We're working for His glory. This is a very difficult lesson for us today. In fact, there is somebody who might say that this is ancient. We don't think this anymore. We don't. And we need to realize that that is the result of why there are so many bad situations that occur in the workplace today. There isn't a person in this church, and probably not a person anywhere, who hasn't tried to call up on the phone just to get information from a particular agency where they will say, "Can you wait a minute?" And you're put on hold. And there are certain companies that are so adept at it, 45 minutes later, you're still on hold. And why is that? Because they don't care about you. And they don't care about God. They don't care about taking care of your problems. They care about themselves. It's an abandonment of the Puritan ethic. That's an abandonment of what this text is talking about. And it's not an isolated incident. I see all of you out there, most of you shaking your heads. You've experienced it. You know it's going on, and it's going on everywhere. And that was just one example. There's a kind of mentality in our culture today that's taken over to automatically see the boss through the lenses of political demagoguery. Because it's easy to characterize them as the rich and the greedy, and the poor worker as the one who is so malinformed and maltreated. And you hear that every day. You hear it right now. You cannot hear a debate, so-called debate, without hearing that. And it's just creating more and more tension where God's word doesn't say that. Do your best as a Christian, whether you've got a Christian employer or not, whether you are a slave and you have a Christian master or not, do your best, for you're serving God as you serve the master, your human master. It's not to say that workplace abuses don't occur, because we also know they do. People taken advantage of. There are miserable, rotten bosses. But Joseph had a miserable, rotten boss too, didn't he? And Joseph did not succumb to the temptation, but he remembered that it wasn't right in the eyes of the Lord to do what Potiphar's wife wanted. And he confronted her with that. You might all say, also note, well, what good did it get him? He got thrown into jail. Well, that's what's going to happen in some situations when you're faithful to God and not faithful to the culture around us. Be obedient to your master. They're worthy of honor, that the name of God and his doctrine might not be blasphemed. This is certainly a different perspective. The master here is referred to as, in the Greek, the word is despotes. Does that sound familiar? In English, that translates to despot. we are to consider him worthy of honor. And he goes on to say, 1 Peter 2:19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience' sake toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. There you have it. Peter was not a Pollyanna. He was not unaware of what was going on in the world. I mean, after all, you're dealing with Imperial Rome in the world, and you're dealing with slaves. And there were people suffering grief and suffering wrongfully as slaves. But because of their conscience toward God, because of their desire to serve God first, they endured the suffering that came. What glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. How is it that suffering a bad boss can be acceptable to God? Well, we don't want to employ any kind of methods so that the name of God and his doctrine would somehow be blasphemed by our bad actions. If we ignore these verses, if we do not listen to these verses, if we do not seek to practice these verses in our life with regard to how we relate to our masters, are we not engaging in rebellion against the master? And our master is God, and he's the master of all. A Christian servant who ignores God's word here is dishonoring God and expressing contempt for God's authority. This is not man. This isn't man's ideas. This is God. At the heart of the Christian teaching, you see, is the picture of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who, though they are God, as it were, though they are the master of all things, they are repeatedly dishonored, abused, disobeyed, scorned, mocked, spit at, and even killed by us. Exactly. God and Christ are long-suffering. They are long-suffering to us. And even that familiar and wonderful passage of Isaiah 53 is well known as, it's not titled this way, but it's well known as the suffering servant of whom Jesus is. He endures even death to meet our greatest needs of life eternal. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 speaks about Jesus. It says, though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Matthew 20, 20 and following, there came to him the mother of Zebedee's children, worshiping Christ and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said, what is it you want? Grant that these two sons of mine might sit on your right and on your left in the day of your kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, you know, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am able to drink? In other words, are you able to be obedient unto death? And they said, yep. Sure enough, we can do it. Whoever wants to be great among you must let him be your minister. Let him be your servant. And whoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. For even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. You can't really ever say that God doesn't know what it's like to do his work for evil masters. And who are they? Us. All of us. He didn't relinquish his authority. He did it all voluntarily and willingly. It's a grave error before God and Christ, and their doctrine of true obedience in the kingdom of God, for a Christian to disobey God's words here in the workplace. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, where there are so many situations which are so unfair, where there are people, Lord, who go into their work situations and pour out their life and their heart, where they are taken advantage of, where they are ignored, where their contributions are downplayed and disrespected, where people take advantage, where their employers take advantage of the servant's good work and fail to pay them, for example, the wages they are due. Lord, we recognize that such things go on, and we ask, Lord, for any brothers and sisters who are caught into that kind of vice, that kind of situation, Lord, that you give them your mind toward these things, that in the minute, in the times of disappointment and discouragement and wonder why they're doing what they're doing for this particular boss, Lord, that they might remember that they are working for you, that you see their suffering, And in due time, Lord, you will give them the honor they have deserved. It may not be, Lord, that they will ever do any better in that work and situation, but it will be, Lord, that you will take care of them in eternity. Father, we pray for your word to have application to all of our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.